Hello and welcome to The Blurs, the Black Nerds with the Word. This is a podcast where it's blurs discuss comics, manga, anime, movies, and much more happening in pop culture. This is one of your hosts, Marcus Andre. With me, I have...
What is good, y'all? This is Drew, reporting live, Double D, Dirty Dwarf. You know it is. It's what? 6 o'clock? No, it's 5:30. We chilling, you know, Friday night, you know, before Thanksgiving. I'm ready. Or the Friday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Big Homie Kenny, Murder Marco all day. We out here kicking it. No, blur. What's same? Last blurs before Thanksgiving. Hope you and your loved ones staying safe. What's the name? I mean, staying safe, quarantine clean. Pass it off to my man's Jess.
Y'all better be.
Good, everybody. Oh, you said hello. Oh, what's good, everybody? This is Justin. I didn't freeze, did I?
No, you good. Go ahead.
Okay. Good, everybody. This is Justin coming from Killer Calvert County. You already know what we do out here. And today we got a special guest with us on the show. I'm going to welcome my man's Will.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? Hey. Will? Yeah. Hey. Out here repping Calvert County as well. Just here to talk some, you know, talk some black nerd stuff, you know?
Oh, you a Calvert County resident too, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's how me and Justin met the first time around, riding the bus up to school. We were riding to different schools
now. Oh, man. Dang. What school y'all go to?
So I went to DeMatha for high school.
Oh, you went to DeMatha? Okay. That's what's up. Okay. That's what's up. Well, you know, I got to ask you, since you went to DeMatha, did you play any sports?
I played football my freshman year.
I'm sorry. I had to. I felt like I stereotyped you, but yeah.
It is what it is, man. It's true. It's a big reason why people go out there. But I played, my main sport was probably rugby out there my junior and senior year. So, yeah, it's how I spent a lot of my time.
Okay. Nice.
I do.
And Will, remind us, how do you get into, like, anime and stuff like that? Like, what do you watch or read or whatever?
So, I watched Dragon Ball growing up as a kid, as I'm sure like a lot of black guys have. A lot of people grew up watching Dragon Ball. And then when I got to high school, I started watching Naruto and getting caught up on that, because I remember I was talking to Justin and he had one of the Naruto games, and I got that from him. I forgot what I swapped for, but we swapped games, and I was playing. I was like, yo, this is dope. I want to watch this show. So now I watched it all the way through. And that's when I started, like, reading. So now I think the first thing I started reading was Hunter x Hunter. And I didn't even know that they were doing an anime for that show. And then I watched that and I'm like, yo, this is dope too. It's just the thing I've learned with anime is that there's just so much stuff out there. And it's hard to watch everything and even to pick and choose and to find stuff. But when you do, I just kind of cling on to that. And then, you know, I watch that week to week or however often that show comes on. And
are you a Calvert County native? Are you? I hear something in your voice. Is it? Are you from the South? Or are you from Baltimore? Because I hear some of those U's are coming across different.
No, Baltimore, but I did spend a lot of summers out in North Carolina. A lot of my family.
Okay. I recommend. Yeah. Okay. What part?
Charlotte, right. And Concord.
All right. I got family in Greenville and all over, but yeah.
Oh, tough.
Yeah.
Love North Carolina.
Thanks.
It's funny how through all, like, that was the most wholesome way to start anime. And then, like, Marcus just came in and said, wait, what, you from Calvert County, right?
What's
your voice?
What's your set, bro?
Who you repping?
Oh, man.
All right, so let's get into news. The only news I have this week is that fuck nigga Trump, he's still trying to, you know, do different, try different ways to get local politicians to rescind their certification of the election results and stuff like that. But it seems like he is failing in every aspect. What else? News. There is a DC Omniverse event coming in March, I believe, right after DC Future State. And so they're kind of loosening their history. And it's something that I think me and Kenny have been thinking about for a while. So what they're doing is they are accepting all continuity, and it's going to be loose. So if it was written, it happened. You can reference it. The sandbox is just way more wider. So if you want to remember when Batman had like a rainbow suit and all of that crap like Grant Morrison does, then you can, that's in your head, Kenny. I think it's a good move because most of DC stories, like we saw last week, are Elseworld stories. So if they bring that kind of flavor to their main line, I think it'll just give creators a lot more freedom to write the characters they want, how they want to write them, and use the storylines they want to write, and, you know, basically do whatever, almost whatever they want to do. Anybody else got news?
Well, I mean, just to piggyback off of that, DC Omniverse is coming at the Future State, which comes in the beginning of 2021. Future State is just, it's not a reboot, it's a relaunch. So basically they're introducing a bunch of new stuff and everything. Then after that, Omniverse, like Marcus says, helps them pay it a little bit more fast and loose, which is good because instead of just making one shot, you can put in whatever you want in the canon. And after that, you can just go from there. And you don't have to worry about, oh, Batman died in this storyline. Well, he's alive over here. What's the same discrepancies, but it's just there. But besides that, Mortal Kombat movie, they're remaking it. It's confirmed for mid-2021 next year. So,
okay.
I mean, it's a good director. I forget the name of the director, but he's on it. And it's, look, I mean, I've trusted his work before, so I forget the name of it. It'll come to me later, but yeah. Wonder Woman's coming to Disney Plus on, no, not Disney. Is it Disney Plus or HBO Max?
HBO Max.
I forgot about that. That was like the biggest story this week too.
Yeah. Wonder Woman on Christmas Day is coming to HBO Max. So if you have HBO Max, you get to subscribe, watch that movie that it's been waiting for a whole year. Fortunately, due to Corona, we weren't able to see it in theaters, but it will be available in some theaters that are open. But if you don't feel safe, you can stay home and watch on HBO Max and subscribe and pay the fee that they might charge you. Hopefully, not on some BS Mulan stuff like Disney tried to pull on us. But yeah.
Oh, God.
And Adventure Time just unleashed a new special on HBO Max because they're still continuing the storyline. It's called the Distant Land Specials. The second special just came out. It focuses on Marceline and Princess Bubblegum. The next one focuses on Finn. And last but not least, I'm going to start this segue and then Drew can take over from here.
But going back to Wonder Woman, if Danger is your middle name, then it's also open in theaters. So, you know, if Corona ain't real in your life, then you can go ahead, do that and risk yourself. But also, before I get into Boruto, did you all watch the Versus Battle?
Yo, I watched some of it. That shit was contentious as fuck. That joint was wild.
That was one of the great. Well, I mean, they only had like, yeah, it was. It was crazy. Like from the jump, like when they first started out, Gucci's talking about some
smoking that pookie nut pack, bro.
Bar.
I was what? Like, hey, yo, he wild for that, bro.
I don't remember there being a time where Gucci Man sat down through the whole thing. Like he was standing, like Jesus was just sitting there, like on the little throne, like this. Gucci's just standing, like fist balled up, just looking at him the whole time. Like there was so much tension in the air, and I don't know. It was entertaining. I tell you that they should definitely have more with beefs for verses. I loved it.
Jarrell 50 next.
Oh my God! Nah, that'll be wild. I will watch that, but that'll be wild, bro.
I wouldn't like the energy.
Just hostile. That's a lot of hostility in that room right there.
Yeah,
just 50.
I didn't know Jeezy sent one of his mans to go kill Gucci, and that started the whole thing. Yeah. I didn't know that. I've never been a big Jeezy fan, and I didn't even know they had beef before this. So it was just interesting to see all of this in Gucci basically, like, it seemed like Gucci is punking this man out, but I have more respect for Jeezy at the end of the day because it seems like he's being more mature.
Yeah.
Now listen to his, he came out with the album today too. And it was very mature, like his topic matter and stuff like that, subject matter, but it wasn't for me. It's not bad, but it's just not for me. But I like his growth, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a ball, Gucci.
Yeah, and when Gucci was like, we should have a jewelry versus or something. And then Jeezy was like, we should have a real estate versus. That was funny.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
But, it's our own half of Atlanta, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably does, actually. You know, I was a Jeezy fan compared to Gucci. I listened to more Jeezy back in the day. So I think he has more hits than Gucci. But they weren't even playing they was playing their hits, but they weren't even playing like their real club bangers. They were just playing like Gucci was. He was just playing like the diss tracks and stuff. Like, he didn't even play, what song he didn't play? He didn't play Freak Girl or, did he play Lemonade?
I don't think he did. Like, I was waiting for Trap House 3.
Yeah, did he play that? I don't think he did. Yeah, so he was just going for shots. Like, he wasn't even trying to go for hits. So that's, I guess that's why people say he technically lost. They said Gucci won the popular vote and Jeezy won the electoral college. Like, that's basically how it went. But yeah, that was a legendary moment. But now to the Boruto news. First things first, I'm going to talk about the GOAT, Kishimoto. For some reason, suddenly this week, or was it last week? I can't remember nowadays. It was this week, okay. Kodachi. He was, I don't know if he just resigned or he was relieved of his duties from being the writer for Boruto manga and anime, but he did that. And Kishimoto has now taken back his throne to write Boruto or the Naruto verse, starting this chapter, actually. There was rumors it was going to start next chapter, but he actually wrote this chapter and he's going to continue doing that on from now on. It was very, very sudden, very weird. Because there's been rumors that Kodachi has had some scandals in the workplace. He's like pretty, there's been rumors he's pretty disrespectful to his coworkers. And I don't know exactly, like, I don't have an example for you, but I've been hearing that along the lines around Twitter and stuff that he has a scandal in the workplace, and that's kind of, he got fired, and that's why he may not be able to write again for anything.
So he got.
That's what the rumor is. It's not confirmed or nothing, but that's what I've been hearing. And Kishimoto, he's willingly coming back to Boruto, but, you know, there's nobody else that you want to write Naruto than Kishimoto. Really,
you don't even really want to do it for real. He's just putting out fire like it's an ease or something.
Yeah, I mean, towards the end of Naruto, he wanted to, like, start a family and stuff, and he was just so consumed, just like how most writers are, you know, they're so consumed in their work that it becomes unhealthy, and that was what it was for Kishimoto. So hopefully he's in a better place now that he can write Boruto moving forward. And if he's writing it, then we're definitely gonna get some hot fire later on, especially after the time skip. So there's that. Also, Boruto news. There's been some leaks going on about a Jump Fest that's coming out next year. So first things first, the Owl Arc, like I said last week, is going to be called the Vessel Arc. That's going to come out in December 13th for the anime. They already released the character design of Owl. It's pretty clean. It looks exactly how it does in the manga. It may even look better. So I'm pretty happy about that. I thought they was going to mess up his design, but they didn't. And they already, they're going to show the voice actors for Kashin Koji, Delta, Kawaki, all of them, the rest of the Kara members. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm very interested to see how Kashin Koji or who Kashin Koji's voice actor is going to be. Because I don't know if it's going to be Jiraiya's. Oh, shoot. I kind of swore it. But I don't know if it's going to be Jiraiya's voice actor or if it's going to be somebody else. I don't know. But I'm pretty interested in how they're going to try to do that. Because people will notice if it's Jiraiya's.
Like yeah. Raspy or whatever for Jiraiya's joint, but still.
Exactly, exactly. And people are definitely going to notice it as soon as that comes out, especially if it's a dub. So I'm really interested to see how they're going to do the voice act for that. What else for Boruto? Also, there's going to be a Boruto game coming out next year. I'm not sure if it's going to be a mobile game or whatever. It's going to be a console. I hope it's going to be a Ninja Storm type game.
Yeah.
They have enough characters and enough content to really expand. I would love to see Jigen in a video game. That would be crazy. But what else? I think that's all for the Boruto news and stuff. So I think we can get the ball rolling.
I saw a trailer for for like a Tom and Jerry movie, like an actual Tom and Jerry movie.
I saw that too.
How y'all feel about that?
It's cool. I mean, it's for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think I think it's gonna be pretty funny. Most animated movies nowadays are actually pretty witty and like pretty funny. So I don't think they're gonna flop. It's gonna be pretty funny seeing it without the blackface and the mammies in Tom and Jerry. Mm-hmm. But looking forward to seeing it. I mean, I'm probably not gonna see it, but you know, this would probably be funny. I don't know.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing it. Honestly, I'm gonna lie.
Yeah. I might check it out.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think it's the same people who did Sonic. I'll be like, I might check it out.
Sonic was good.
Yeah, it is the same tough. People, or is going to be tough.
He said surprisingly.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be good at all, but ended up being actually pretty good.
I mean, we did, as the fans, bully them into making the proper design, because you remember the first joint they put out?
Oh my god,
the junk still gives me nightmares.
that thing was a mole rat. I don't know what that was. That was not my Sonic, man. But so are they making it, or the people that made Sonic? Oh, okay.
I'm not entirely sure.
All right, let's get into books. Kenny, first as always.
All right. Did you read Death Metal this week or not?
Yes, I did. It wasn't as bad as it usually is, I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to remember what happened. Okay, so the Darkest Knight, that's what he's calling himself now, right?
Yeah, the Darkest Knight is fighting Perpetua for the control of the multiverse, while the heroes are teaming up with Lex Luthor, which happens because like Lex Luthor survived after he lost his powers and a whole bunch of bullshit happened between them. But they're all trying to come together to not restart everything, but just to move forward, which I feel like can lead into future state, omniverse, et cetera, et cetera. Because like the main thing is we're not going back to the status quo. We're going to move forward with what we have. And then everybody admits what they did before. Because the plan is to destroy Earth, because Earth is the center of everything. And if you destroy that, what's the name? Everything falls apart. And the Darkest Knight loses all his power. And after that, Perpetua can lose too. And then they can start from there. And Batman and Superman reveal their truth to Wonder Woman as far as Batman's dead, which we knew. Because you have to be... You had to be dead to have a Black Lantern ring. And then after that, Superman is taken over by Apocalypse as far as the antimatter equation. And we are two chapters away from the finale. But yeah.
I think that was out of nowhere, Batman saying he was dead. Like, I knew, because I asked you in the first issue, I was like, don't you have to be dead to wield the Black Lantern ring? But I didn't read Blackest Night then. And the Superman thing I don't really care about, but I thought it was cool that he can use Omega Beams now.
Yeah.
I would like a tie-in just for how did Batman, like what happened? How did the nigga die? How did he come back to life? That's interesting.
Like, they said basically that when they went to fight Perpetua the first time, that he died in that fight, but like he had a dark, because you know he always has contingencies, so he had a Dark Lantern ring on him just in case he died. But yeah, that's the bullshit.
Wow.
But that's that. On Marvel's side, X of Swords is progressing. We're getting toward the climax. This week was actually a little bit better. We get to see some hands, some people die. I'm not going to say names, but not that we see some inside politics and that we're getting toward the conclusion, which happens next week. And outside of comics, new Dragon Ball Super came out today. They finally finished up the arc as far as Goku, Moro, and all that versus Moro and everything. Satisfying conclusion. I can go on to the next one because, like, before I was getting a little mad. Will, you been reading?
Yeah, I read that issue today also, right after Boruto.
Hey, man. What's your thoughts, man?
Like you said, like, it felt like the weeks prior, they kind of backtracked on a lot of character development. And it seems like they did try to right the ship a little bit, at least. But I don't really forgive them for what they did with a lot of the characters. But at the same time, it was entertaining. It was cool to read.
Because I was getting mad, like, earlier when they were trying to, like, literally do the Cell shit all over again with Moro. And I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, you want to, with characters like that, and especially with the show like Dragon Ball that we've all been watching since we were little, you want to see the characters grow. And it felt like they were getting to that point, and then it just stopped.
Yep.
And they went back. And it's, you hate to see that, but they pulled it together at the end, and I was satisfied in the end.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Last but not least is Boruto, but I'm going to leave that for Drew to get us started.
Yeah, boys. It's that time of the month. So, we had chapter 52. For first things first, the art was just impeccable. Especially starting from the cover page, Naruto's new form is just crazy. What is it called? Baryon? Okay, Baryon. I was about to say Byron or Brian. Yeah, Baryon. His new Baryon mode is very, very tough. So, I don't even know where to start. Okay, so Naruto and Ishiki are battling. And I think we need to first address how the battery life that Ishiki's has is now, he's basically at like 20% battery life, so he needs a charger. I'm saying that to say that Ishiki is about to die at this point, right? And because he's a million years old and he needs a vessel to carry on the next stage of the plan, which means he needs Kawaki. And at the point where they were fighting, he had 20 hours left before he just dies. And when Naruto used this mode that could possibly kill him, is some scientific, I don't know, Kurama was talking something. It was going over my head some moments. Y'all could probably talk better about that.
He was saying, want to go, Justin?
Go ahead.
All right. So basically, he was saying it's like an unlimited mode in a character game. Like when you get that power that makes you OP as fuck. But the thing is, your health keeps draining more and more and more as it goes along. So basically, like, chakra is like the point of everything. So that means you just needed to survive a little, like just having a little bit. But the more you use it, you're going to die at the end. But he kept pushing it and pushing it. So basically what Kurama said, which is like the perfect analogy for it, it's like a boxer fight. Whoever can get the most licks in is going to be the winner at the end of this.
Yes, yes. And I love how now it became a boxing match. It became all hands. So all Naruto has to do, he doesn't even have to knock him, even though he has Ishiki leaking. And nobody's ever seen that before. And the fact that he doesn't even have to knock him out or like hit him like one punch. All he has to do is touch him. And his lifespan went from 20 hours to 30 minutes just from him being punched by Naruto. I love how he just beat the brakes off him. Like that was a goated Naruto, another Goruto, goated Naruto moment. Unfortunately, my boy Sasuke was looking like a part one Sakura throughout the whole chapter. But I think he's gonna get his moment. Unfortunately, I think his moment will be in his death. But that's to be seen.
But the hype part about what's coming in chapter 53 in December is the fact that Kawaki has now entered the battlefield, and Boruto, I think Momoshiki is about to have a few words for Ishiki, because this plan is not... They have two different plans, and they're going, their plan's going this way, and it's going to end up colliding. So yeah, I cannot wait to see next month. 10 out of 10 chapter.
Yeah, I won't even lie. Like, a lot of things that, like, Kurama was talking about, too, was going over my head. I was like, this is a little, hey, I'm going to just pay attention on this part for a minute.
Yeah, I did not know he had a PhD, bro. I was like, what? Yeah. You never talk like this.
Yeah, and you remember, like, Naruto was just like, what? He was just like, all right, never mind.
Yeah, that was basically how I was feeling.
But, yeah, this was a fire chapter. I won't even hold you, man. And I was just like... I had so much hope because I was just like, oh, my God, they're about to do it. Boom, Kawaki's there. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and we always have to remember that in the first panel or the first episode of Boruto, it has Kawaki and Boruto are like adults or they're teenagers. And Kawaki says, he told Boruto, I'm going to send you where I sent the seventh Hokage. The first panel.
I thought he said... I'm going to send you where the seventh went.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to send you where the seventh went.
Yeah.
Eyes that Naruto's dead. We see the village worse than Pain did.
Yeah. So I think this next chapter is going to start that, where I think eventually, somehow, Ishiki's going to put the karma seal on Kawaki. And that's going to start Ishiki being revived again, where he takes over Kawaki's body, or Kawaki does it on his own accord. So I think this is going to start, we're going to start seeing that the time skip events happening right now in the next chapter.
Yeah.
Do y'all think Naruto is really going to be gone after this?
After this fight, no. But I think he's going to die in the time skip. I think Kawaki's gonna he's gonna die by Kawaki's hand in a time skip. I don't think it's gonna happen in this fight.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I think just with reading it, it seemed less and less likely. Like, okay, I don't think Naruto is gonna go, because like they kept talking about it too much. And at some point, Kurama said, "Whether you or I die first." I was like, "Well, what if Kurama just goes, but Naruto's fine?"
Yeah,
Kurama goes, God, that's going. Naruto gonna be useless at that point.
Yeah, but that'd be kind of cool to shake things up. It's like, oh, he was used to having this tier of power, and now he's like, he's back down here, and he's gotta make things work.
That's it.
Man, but I will say, doesn't he have all the other tailed beast chakra as well?
Yeah.
So if that happens, he could. I don't know. They could do something.
Like how? Well, basically, it'd be like the biggest. It'd be the biggest bullshit thing ever. But basically, he does lose Kurama. They still do have those two like guys who were inside Kurama's gut like a while back, sealed inside those little weapons that Tenten has.
Oh, I forgot about that. So that's in Kurama? I thought Madara had that.
No, like Madara spit those out, because remember he was flying to the battle, he spit those out, then Tenten had those like afterward, and that is just in her shop. So
right, they are. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, okay.
So we never know about that. But my main thing is I feel like Drew's prediction might come true soon as far as how Boruto gets that scar.
I thought they were sealed away, though.
They're sealed away, but I'm talking about they might like somehow get the chakra from those seals and after that to Naruto. But I feel like I'm still like Drew's thing about Sasuke with Boruto, I feel like that might come true, though, next couple chapters.
It's possible.
I'm ready, but I'm not ready for it. Gonna hurt.
I'm ready for this time skip, for real, for
real. Thanks. Ready for that one and the My Hero one. The sooner those can happen, the better.
Ooh, that's going.
Has anybody read anything else this week?
Nope.
I read My Hero on Sunday.
Go ahead, bro.
What happened in that?
Without spoiling things, you know,
No, spoil it. Fuck it.
This is a spoil-free, a pro-spoil podcast.
Pro-spoiler podcast.
I cannot speak today.
Justin's down there covering his ears.
Because I'm behind in the manga.
Wait, okay, you can allude to it. All
right.
You just
glitch out right now, Justin. Just glitch out.
It's going to eventually happen, so just go ahead. All right.
Go ahead. It was just, it was really cool to read because, you know, stuff's really starting to go to shit with the whole hero society. Reveals were made. I don't know if y'all talked about, if y'all know about the latest reveal that was made with, like, see, I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, I know about it. They don't yet, but I
don't
know
even read it. I just see it on my YouTube feed and I just keep seeing somebody got an ice power or some shit like that.
Okay. Yeah, and then, you know, other characters also came back that we thought were gone, and that's going to shake things up as well. But all I got to say is that manga is very well written. Like, it's very well put together, and I'm really excited for when the show comes back. I think they're supposed to come back next year, right?
Yeah, next spring.
But it's just, they're so far behind compared to where the manga is at this point. So I'm afraid that they're going to be taking a break at some point soon too. But stuff is getting good. It's getting really good.
Yeah. I think they have the best art style in manga right now. That art is beautiful.
You think, like, so?
Yeah. The detailing is crazy. Like, yeah, they definitely have the best art.
Okay.
Then something else I've been reading lately was, are y'all familiar with Invincible at all?
Yes, by Rob Kirkman.
Yep, written by the same dude does The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. He's it's a superhero property, and it's Image Comics, and I think it was like 144 issues, something like that. But they're making a show for it soon that's coming out on Amazon Prime that's going to be animated. So I've just been rereading all that just to get, you know, back into the swing of that, and I'm really excited about that coming out.
Okay.
So isn't, like, the main character, he has, like, Superman like powers and his dad is a superhero, but he is secretly a supervillain?
So yeah, just because it's early on, his dad is Omni-Man, who's pretty much their people's Superman. Mm-hmm. And he's from this planet, planet Viltrum. He's a Viltrumite. And as a result of that, his son is also half Viltrumite. So, you know, he's got the same powers as him. And essentially, he's called Invincible because he is invincible. There's nothing that can really hurt him. But then you find out, well, don't want to spoil things too much, but like you said, his dad is not a good person. So it's really one of those comics that I started reading younger. And as I grew older, the comic also matures a lot as you get older. So it starts out as almost like, oh, this is like a kid's thing too. This is very much not a kid's thing anymore. Like, people are getting murdered and raped and all sorts of crazy stuff, but still extremely well put together.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out. Probably going to read it before I watch the show, because I only read the first issue, and I don't know why I didn't continue it, because it was a really good first issue.
Yeah, it's a great read.
Yeah, so what did I start on? This week I continued reading what might be my favorite Daredevil run ever. Daredevil Volume 4, End of Hell by Chip Zdarsky and illustrated by Jorge Fornes and Marco Cicchetto. Only got two issues in, but they were two pretty good issues. So Matt and Elektra, they sneak into the main protagonist, well, two of the main protagonists in this story arc. And they're two billionaires that are manipulating the police force and the local gangs and stuff like that to prevent the police from being around Hell's Kitchen, so they can. Can you, have you read it yet? Why?
Yeah.
Like, do you remember why the billionaires are doing that?
They're doing that because, like, basically they want to own Hell's Kitchen. They even bitch Kingpin and whatever and throw that nigga out the window.
Oh, they want the property value to go down. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why they're doing that. And Matt and Elektra snuck into one of their, snuck into somewhere, and they stole like billions of dollars from them. And they gave that money to local business owners in Hell's Kitchen. And Hammerhead is trying to take over where Hell's Kitchen is because they're making a coalition against the Owlman or whatever his name is, the main gangster. Owsley, whatever his name is, because he's the head gangster. He's taken over where Fisk has left off because Fisk has become mayor of New York. And so they redistribute that money, and Leslie, the lady that was the original kingpin or the second most powerful person in Hell's Kitchen besides Fisk, she takes back her territory. And Matt finds out that Elektra has stolen $1 billion of the money. So he's just like, fuck that bitch. Like, why would you do that? Like, we're supposed to be, you know, providing for the people. And something happened at the end of Charles Soule's run. So I don't think Elektra knows that Daredevil is Matt and Matt is Daredevil, but she finds out by the end of the issue I read. And Wilson Fisk is basically healing after he was thrown out of the window, where the billionaires were. They sent their ninjas after him or whatever, their police force, their security force, and they threw that nigga out the building and said it was an accident. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And they did this because in the previous volume, Wilson Fisk killed one of their friends in their bathroom. And it was pretty cool how they all cleaned it up and stuff like that. But they basically wanted revenge. I really like these twins, these two billionaires. I think they're called the Stromwinds.
Stromwinds, yeah, Stroms.
Yeah, Stromwinds. I highly recommend getting on the Chip Zdarsky Daredevil bandwagon. And another good part was when Matt is representing the brother of the dude he killed pro bono.
Yep.
And so the dude knows that Matt is Daredevil. The brother knows that Matt is Daredevil. And he goes over the dude's house to tell him something or something like that. And he sees the guy's mother. And he talks to the guy's mother to see where he is because he has to give him important information and stuff like that. And she's just like, I know you killed my son. And Matt just breaks down. And she has like this kind of like human to human conversation with him. And is like, I know you fucked up, but I know you're a good person. So I know you didn't mean to kill my son on purpose and everything like that. So that was just a very good moment. Another thing I read was Fatale by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. So this is about a woman she doesn't age and she has the power to make any man fall in love with her. And so in the second volume, she's in Los Angeles and there's this cult that is always following her and they sacrifice people and stuff like that. And one of the people in the cult, this girl, found this film with them doing some decapitating and some weird shit with the bodies from this cult and stuff like that. But they hide behind this church. So she gets caught up in that and the girl's boyfriend falls in love with Joe, the protagonist. And it's just a whole lot of drugs, bad decisions, and fun. So I recommend you to check that out. Let's move on to TV, movies, and we're going to throw music on there this time around.
Oh, music. Okay.
Who wants to go first?
You can go ahead, Will. You got anything?
Movies I've been watching lately. I haven't watched anything. There hasn't been anything really like new that's come out, but I'm always watching movies every week. I've been watching a lot of bad movies on purpose lately, just because everybody always talks about the good ones. And I was seeing like, yo, what's up with these ones over here, though? So I watched Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves. The movie was trash. Can't recommend it to anybody unless you want to watch a movie that's bad on purpose like I did.
Dang.
But, I mean, there was entertaining stuff to it, but not great. And in terms of TV shows I've been watching lately, I've been watching the show called Truth Seekers on Amazon Prime. It's like about these guys who are ghost hunters. He's like a broadband cable guy, but he also has a YouTube channel where he hunts ghosts. And it's a strange show, but it's entertaining. I'm like halfway through it now, but it's been cool.
You said it's on Prime?
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Truth Seekers.
I've heard of Knock Knock. It sounds so familiar. What type of movie? That sounds familiar.
I want to say it's labeled as like a horror thriller type of movie.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. I think I seen a trailer for it a while back. But yeah, no.
It's not really worth the watch. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, but for me, it's outside of Promised Neverland, I haven't really been watching much. There's a couple episodes of Full Metal Alchemist. You know, other than that, that's just about it for me.
How are you liking that so far?
It's good. It's really good. It's really good. What episode am I on now? I think probably like 9 or 10.
Okay. I'm kind of though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm on like 10th episode. I don't know how many episodes they have per season, or because Netflix has it in like 5 parts. So I don't know how many episodes is going to be in this first part. But
did you get the part with like the dad and?
What, hit their dad?
No, like the wild dad that did that.
Oh, thing. You talking about the dad and the girl and the dog? Yeah, that was like the third episode.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie to y'all. That joke scarred me. Like I didn't watch it for like almost a week after that. Not like it was disturbing. Like, I mean, it was good writing and stuff like that, whatever, yeah. But it was just disturbing. So I had to like get a little break. I've seen the screenshots of that character or whatever that thing is. You know, I've always seen screenshots, but I didn't know what anime it was from. And then when I saw the dad, I knew it was something fishy about it. And I was like, he's going to do something weird at the end of this episode. But I don't know what's going to happen. And yeah, he literally, I mean, I'm gonna just say it. It's anime came out in 2010. He literally like fused his dog and his daughter into one creature. It was crazy. And like,
it's just sad because you see the sadness in the dog's daughter / you know face. Yes. It's just like,
the dogs are seeing like Edward, I was like, oh.
Yeah, the fact that it still had the ability to talk was just sad.
Oh, and it's just like, you know it didn't want that for itself.
Yeah, but it's a good show. Once I don't know, once I just get around to it, I feel like I could just knock it out or knock at least half of it out. Because I'm trying to watch this, and then after this, I'm going to go back and watch Bleach.
Okay.
Because the anime's coming back next year, so I might as well get started on it now. Because I know it's going to take me forever.
You're going to love it. We're going to have a conversation about that for her.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I already know it's fire. I just haven't watched it.
All right. What you been watching, man?
I've been watching much. I did watch this movie for the first time. I've always heard about it, called Interstellar. I watched it
on Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, it was fire, bro. I was like, whoa, this is hard. Like, One, Christopher Nolan is an amazing director, man. So, like, this is just top tier work. Like, you just know when, like, oh my God, man. Christopher Nolan's a great director. Like, from just from like Dark Knight, Batman, Dark Knight, all those movies. He just put out a new one with called The Tenant with John David Washington. That looks like it's fire too.
Inception.
Oh yeah, Inception too. That's what I'm saying, bro. Christopher Nolan is a fire director. Like, this film is amazing. Pretty much, like, what's happening is just like the world is like, I think like the oxygen is like depleting and like the dust is taking over more, and they go up into space and they're looking for a new planet to inhabit, pretty much, or they're looking for like the formula of how they're gonna like solve like their own situation on Earth. And pretty much this girl's dad goes into space and everything, and you know how like when you go into space, time and just like everything really changes. Like, you could like age like faster, or you could stay the same age and everything. So they went onto this planet, and it was just like, it was so crazy. First of all, the ocean, this is just like one you gotta watch. Like, it was like an hour on this planet was like 21 years on Earth. And they left someone on the ship. And when they came back on the ship, they were gone for like a solid hour. And this man had aged and everything. And he was just like shaking. He was just like, I was waiting for you guys. I was like,
I've been waiting for you for years.
I was like, this is crazy, man. They got like a transmission from like their people back home and everything. He watched one with his son was all grown up. He was crying. And Matthew McConaughey, he's a fire actor. This movie was like, I'd recommend this. Like, I'd recommend this. If like if you're deep into sci-fi and everything, this is one I really recommend. Truly.
Bet. I mean, that's a fire ass movie. As far as me, Tosh.0 is reaching it. Well, this had its penultimate episode this week. So next week is its finale, End of an Era. It's been on for, starting 2010. So actually not 2010, 2009, I meant to say. So they've been, no, 2008. But anyways, they've been on for going on 12 years. After this, the show's, the owner, what's name, Tosh said he's going to try to take it other places. But I mean, I really don't see where else he can really take it. Besides Comedy Central, that's going to let him be as much as he's been for these last 12 years. But hopefully he finds a place. But that's what I've been watching. And also, besides that, Billy and Mandy. I just reruns of that. I mean, it's been hilarious. And last but not least, as far as Marcus, since you brought up music, album I really recommend, a couple albums I recommend people checking out, featuring Ty Dolla $ign. Album's actually been on point. That was actually a decent album. All the way through, and Xavier Omar, if you'd never heard of him before, If You Feel. But I'm about to listen to the new Future and Uzi album after I get done with this. Hopefully it's not an album of the same, because sometimes they do have a chance of repeating themselves on a couple songs. But I mean, I know they have a couple hits on that, probably.
Got a couple bangers. It's mid, though, to me.
It was cool.
I haven't heard it just yet.
It's a C. It's a C.
Yeah, I agree.
I like 2 Chainz drop more than Uzi and Future.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Was fire.
Yeah, he dropped last week.
Okay.
Well, did you go yet?
Who?
Did you go yet? Like, was it your turn yet?
Oh yeah, I went first. I forgot about the music stuff.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna just talk about these two albums right quick. There recently Amare dropped an album, and it's an Afro pop album, and I've never listened to Afro pop before. So I was like, what is this? But it was in R&B. So I listened to it, and this might be my favorite album of the year. It's this she's this singer, she's a Ghanaian American. And it has Afro beats on there. It has a little bit of punk rock, just a little bit in the intro and outro. She has some reggae vibe, some what's the other Jamaican music? Reggae.
Dancehall.
She has some dancehall on there as well. Amara. So she's Amara at AM
La Negra.
I'm sorry, bro, but Shawty, what's that mean? Only reason why, because I've been seeing trash reality TV back in the day, and she's been on Love and Hip Hop, so, look, you go ahead, bro.
AMAARAE, and she's kind of fluid with her sexuality. I don't know where her gender is, but sometimes she's talking about, you know, entertaining girls, but sometimes she's saying she'll entertain dudes too. And when I looked her up, she looked like she was a stud. But on her recent music video, she appeared like way more feminine. I was like, is this the same lady? So I just thought her album was excellent. And she has this voice that's kind of like childlike. She kind of does like this high voice type of thing, but it's also low at the same time. You just have to hear it. I've never heard anything like it. And another album I listened to was Till Death by Chet Ikru. Have y'all ever heard of him?
Nah.
Well, he has this R&B soul album, and I think he's from Los Angeles. He has one song that is full Spanish on here, so I know a lot of Black people in Los Angeles can speak Spanish, and it's just a good R&B album. He's rapping too on here. It has good production and everything like that, so check it out.
What was the name of the last one you actually recommended?
Chet Ikru is C H E.
No, the one before.
Amara. Her name is spelled AMAARAE.
Oh, that's okay. A good lady then. I thought we were talking about Amara de la Negra, but that's somebody else.
Yeah, I thought.
Oh,
so
hell
too.
Nah.
That's what I was saying. I was like, wait.
Nah. Good music. But all right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's move on to Promise Neverland. That's what it's called, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. All right. So, backstory. Getting over to Kenny's email right now.
Promise Neverland. He put it in the reply, I think. Like, it's in the same, hold on.
Okay, now I see it. All right, Promise Neverland is based on a manga by Kai Shira, and the artistry is done by Posuka Demizu. In Japanese, it's pronounced Yakusoku no Naburando. It was published by Shueisha Shonen Jump from 2016 to 2020, August 2016 to June 2020. The anime premiered on January 11th, 2019 on Fuji TV and is ongoing. The story is about an orphanage that seems normal at first but harbors a dark secret and follows the lives of the orphans who are trying to escape. So we're going to get a little bit more in depth to that because y'all don't probably know what the fuck that means. These demons or these aliens or whatever these creatures are have taken over the earth seemingly. And they are farming children to feast on mostly their brains. I'm guessing it's because of the creativity of the children at that time, and it peaks at the age of 12 or something like that, or after that reality starts to set in and their brain chemistry is not the same. But that's basically the background, and our three main characters are Emma, Norman, and Ray. One day, one of the children on the farm is seemingly, quote unquote, adopted. And so she is taken to the gate by the mother who oversees all the children. She's like the caretaker. And we see that the girl's bunny is left behind. So Emma, our main character, and Norman, they go to the gate, which they were told not to do. That's like the number one rule. Don't go to the gate. But they go to the gate to give the bunny doll to Connie, the girl who just got, unquote, adopted. And they find her dead in this truck. And so they find out that there are these alien creatures that are harvesting to eat them and stuff like that. And from that point on, they plan to escape. And Ray is the only character that has known almost since the beginning that was going on. He's been planning for years to escape, or at least get everybody else to escape. So our first question is overall thoughts. And we'll start with our guests first, then Kenny, Drew, Justin, and then me.
All right. So I guess overall thoughts on the show. I had no idea what I was walking to at all with this. You know, Justin texted me and said, hey, watch this show before the podcast. And I was like, okay, cool. And to say that the tonal shift in just the first episode, like how big of a shift it was, is like an understatement, because I thought this was going to be some sort of happy-go-lucky. I didn't know what I was walking into. And then seeing Connie in the truck and the fact that her eyes were bug-eyed, wide open, I was like, okay, this is real. Whatever's going on with this is going to be good. And I liked it a lot. I was surprised it was only like 12 episodes, but they get you so invested in all those characters like so quickly. And I was legitimately worried about them. And it was cool seeing just the cat and mouse and the like, we know, does she know that we know? And she's like, I know that they know, but how much do they know? And you got Ray who's going back and forth. You don't really know whose side he's really on. It was a lot of surprises for me, and I enjoyed every bit of it, honestly. I'm waiting for more of it because there's supposed to be more to this, right? You said it's ongoing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the manga's finished, but season 2 is coming out. It was supposed to begin beginning of next year, but it's been confirmed to start like probably end of next year.
I'll be watching. I didn't know that.
Dang.
But yeah.
The end of next year.
Like, what's the name? Since of all the whole Corona stuff and everything, like they were trying to start beginning of next year, but they said they're going to come back. Cause I was reading something about it that they're going to start like in September or whatever for production.
God damn.
Yeah. All right. But as far as my thoughts, like, piggybacking off of Will, like, you think, like, the first episode seems like a good slice of life thing. It's all good. You see the kids. It's cool. And then shit goes dark. And I mean dark as fuck. Like, this might be the second biggest, like, tonal shift I've seen since Berserk, almost, in that one episode. And, like, it's just that, I mean, you get invested in the characters and you see like the chess match the characters play with each other, as far as like you see Ray and you see Norman, that you see like Krona, then you see Isabella, and that how they all going back and forth, like as far as, okay, how can I move this person here? Can I get this information here? How much does this person know? Et cetera, et cetera. Norman's the MVP, in my opinion, but most ballless player. RIP that man. But off of that, I mean, I will be checking out more. I want to see how this all ends and everything, because I mean, it's still a lot of shit we haven't had fleshed out yet, as far as, because they kept referring to this, the one, the whole time toward the end of it. And then after that, it's just the whole, like, because we get backstories of a lot of the characters. We see Krona's backstory. We see Isabella's backstory, but it's still a backstory of how we got to this world where we have kids being sent as like cattle for like aliens and everything. And after that, and the funny thing is the aliens, they're like, and to me, sentient titans almost a little bit, as far as like you have these people herded up as cattle for these people to eat. But like you're herded inside these walls to be protected from them, because if they get inside the walls, they'll eat you up. But yeah, that's my comparison I saw from it. But on to the next person.
Yeah, to start this, I saw this last year, like I think when it came out, like late 2019, my girl showed me this, and I saw like the first couple episodes, and I just fell off from it. But I came back because I was like, I do want to watch this, and I do want to talk to y'all about this with y'all. But the first episode reminds me so much of Attack on Titan's first episode with like the tonal shift. I just love stuff like that. I think it's so funny, like because people, you know, they think it's I'm watching this kids show, ain't nothing, no, you know, and then you know this becomes this. So I think if you like big brain anime, then definitely watch this. I feel like this was like 3 or 4 Shikamaru's in one episode. I mean, not one episode, in one show. Like just the chess matches that they have, I just love. The character development is great. The cliffhangers are also great. You said, Kenny, that Norman's dead. I don't think Norman's dead.
I don't think Norman's dead. I hope he's
not. I don't kill off characters until I actually see them die. They just saw him put in a room. I have a theory about that. I guess I can say about it right now. I think that what they do is, you know how the mother was impregnated and she gave birth to Rey, right?
Yeah.
I think that the men in this world are some sort of sperm donors or some sort of in something like that, where they are just used to impregnate women to have more more to harvest. But that being said, this anime, I loved it. I'm glad I finished this. I'm looking forward. I thought it was gonna come out like mid next season or early next year, but it come out September 2021. I'm about to wait a long time for that, but you know, great anime, loved it.
So this anime reminds me of, like, why I love stepping out of my usual genre and watching like action animes and everything, and then like stepping into like ones like this, and it's just like, man, this is like, there's just so much, it's just so much creativity that's happening in it. Not only that, going back to what Will said, I didn't know what I was getting myself into either when I started watching this, because I had always kept on hearing about this, seeing about this on social media. People would say this is depressing, this is sad, and I was just like, it looks kind of sad, you know, it's just, you know, these little kids and everything. And yeah, I loved how there was no dumb character at all in this show. Like,
I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no dumb character at all in this anime at all. I was like, okay. Yeah. And in my head, I was always like, okay, Norman's the smarter one. Okay. Ray's the smarter one. Norman, Nick Ray. What? All right. I don't know.
Norman. But
in the end, I was just like, okay, Norman has it. Norman's got it after that one. Amazing storytelling, honestly. I didn't even know it was like dark like that. I just thought it was just like, I don't know. I don't know. It was just, it was different. It was different from my usual watch. And again, I liked how there were no dumb characters. Like, back to what like Drew said, like 3 Shikamaru's in one. So many plot twists and everything. And the ending kind of blew my mind a little bit. I was like, oh, so she's Rey's direct mom here. It's not like she was just placed for all of them and everything. She's okay, cool. And I was like, I like where this is like all going to. And I can tell like season 2 is gonna be fire. Like, cause most times when you watch like a first season and everything, it's like it doesn't build the right momentum going into like the next season. But this like has me like on like the edge of my seat waiting for like season 2 to come out. So this was really awesome. Really good writing.
Hey, Marcus.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Just a heads up, I'm putting everybody on 2 minutes just so we don't go too much over, because I think this is going to run long. I really like this anime. I thought at first it was kind of dull. I really didn't see the difference between Ray and Norman at first. But as we move forward, you really get to see their differences and stuff like that. They're like kind of like the three signing of like this house or whatever, because they're all the greatest and stuff like that. But what I really liked about this was kind of what y'all were remarking on before. They are like the most mature anime characters I've ever seen in their children, you know? And no one is trying to act irrationally. There's only one part where it was kind of dumb for them to go inside the mom's room and stuff like that, Gilda and Don. But otherwise than that, I like their planning and stuff like that. They kept with the dark tone, but they didn't do too much, which I love. I also kept thinking about Chrome, because when we see black people in anime, they're usually, a stereotype. And with Chrome, it's kind of like she's like the antithesis or the anti-whatever, because, because she looks like a mammy on paper. Like, if you look at this lady, she looks like a mammy, but she is totally opposite. Like, she doesn't give a fuck about these kids. All right, I gotta stop talking a little bit. She doesn't give a fuck about these kids. She is selfish. She's very smart, intelligent, and everything like that. And she just has her own personality, which I like, even though she's horrible. I liked it. Next question. Let's go. What did you think of the overall art style?
In terms of the art style, I like the way everything looked. I didn't think they had really too much to do other than like when the aliens were on screen and they were creepy, and even like the sound design to go along with how they were moving made it seem even like more like creepy crawly, like what are these things. But in terms of how the characters looked and stuff, I didn't think they went too outside the box with it, but it did look good. So that's all I really had to say on that.
Great art style. I mean, like, for different parts, like Will said, for the aliens and that, like, you'll see certain parts as far as, like, you're during the day, you see all the sunniness out and that. The jump scares were Cronin. I mean, a couple of them got me a couple of times. I'll be honest with you. But like, when I tried this popped out of cousin, I see it, like, hey, somebody get shawty out there. It's like, to put it into words, it's like, you know, when they have like a really like dark skinned black person in a room and like the lights are off and that they open their eyes and you see their teeth and everything. And I'm just like, bro, why y'all doing that with shawty? Like, that's the kind of feeling that they did with her a little bit, which I feel offended at the same time. I was laughing at it a little bit, but that's just my thought on it.
Yeah, in terms of the art style, I think it was very clean, but they used where they should really put their art style into work on the right moments, like with Connie, like with Chrono, in the moments towards the end of the towards the end of the season. I think they used their art style at the right moments, but I mean, for the entire anime, it was clean, but I think they was really good on the moments that really mattered. That's what stood out to me for the art style. Everything else was kind of, regular. It was clean. It's fine.
Art style was really good. Going back to actually what Marcus said, I like how they didn't overdo it with like how dark the anime could have been. because I also realized, like, you have to remember, these are kids. You're trying to keep them happy. So, of course, it's going to be like, you know, make it fun, make it sunny, make it, you know, like that. So I loved how, like, just it was like a nice summery looking anime. And at the same time, it had its moments where it just went to like pitch black and everything. And in terms of art style, it was really good. Like, the right moment really does matter. Like, when Ray was about to set that place on fire and everything, and he, like, was yelling at Emma, he's like, this was my whole plan and everything. And he saw, like, they zoom in on his eyes and everything, and he's going crazy. I'm just like, man, this is kind of, this is crazy right here. And, Krone was a character. She was really a character, I could say that. Like, you know, like the facial expressions and everything, like, just, I don't know. It was just like, you know, those moments in like SpongeBob where it's like, let's say in like the early episodes were like the one where it's like, what did you do to my drink? And his neck like extends even more like than you think it's going to be. Like, it's like moments like that where it's just, it does like a stretch for the character. And it's just like, okay, this anime is so crisp. Why did it just break out? Atmosphere like that. So that was cool. Everything was clean about this. Like, even that bridge part, the bridge parts, everything, it was good. It was real clean.
All right. I really like the subtle moments. So the moment when you see Norman at the sink and he's kind of like shook, he's just realizing that he's about to die. I really like those subtle moments to see all his emotions and stuff like that. A lot of times when we see that anime, I secretly think like it's kind of odd because it's just like everything is at a standstill. But you can still see, it's like even though everything's still frozen in here, it's like you can see him going through the motions and stuff like that. And they really played, I really like how they made Norman feel like an old man. His mannerisms were very oldish. He had white hair. He was wise. He just reminded me of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Even when he shows up at the end, and they're just like talking to him and stuff or just looking at him. It's just like he's there with them. Like at the end of A New Hope. So, yeah, I really like the art. Next question. Who was your favorite character? I'm pretty sure we're all going to have the same answer with this, but go on ahead.
Definitely Norman. 100% it was Norman. But if I had to pick a second favorite, just because I think everyone's going to like Norman, I did like Ray a lot. Just because I never really knew what was on his mind. So he was the one I was always the most interested to see what he had to say or what he was doing, because dude's a total wild card as far as I was concerned up until the end of the season. And even then, we still don't really know. So definitely Norman. Norman was MVP of the show, in my opinion.
Definitely Norman. Most ballless player. Man saw everything from the get-go. Saw everything from there. But besides that, I mean, like, the main thing, like, this is a shonen anime, so we did get a lot of shonen tropes, because Emma, like, that's a Naruto, if I've ever seen one. Loud, I want to save everybody, friendship over everything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That. Ray, low-key a Sasuke, but, like, a little bit more wishy-washy. But other than that,
lot more emotional.
A lot more emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emo.
So I'm gonna go with Sister Krone as my favorite character. I just loved her. I just love her outbursts, if anything. Like, she, when her moments by herself, like compared to what she does with the kids and stuff, or with the mother, I just love those moments. I thought she was hilarious, and she was smart. I think her death scene also was very, was animated perfectly. You know, the fact that the grandmother didn't believe her,
when she was saying, when she was basically like spilling the beans, I was like, dang, like she's telling the truth, like please do not kill her off. You know, I know it's gonna happen. But you know, just showing even flashbacks of her life and stuff with that little strange doll, up till the fact that she, all she wanted to do was just become a mom, you know, because when you're a kid in that farm and you have basically have either a choice to die or to become a mother. And you know, I just really loved her character. Yeah, so that's my favorite.
Oh man, I thought I was gonna be alone in this one.
Nah. Gotta go with her.
I'm going with Chrome. Like, she just had the most spontaneous like character out of everybody, and plus she was literally the only black one. Even when you look through the flashbacks, I like how like there are some things in like black and white and gray, and she's just the only one sticking out. I'm just like, damn, she really the only black character in this whole show. It's, I ain't got a problem with it, but it's just like, that's cool. And to be honest, if I was able to pick like a second favorite, it would be Norman, just because like when Ray really confronted him at the beginning, I thought like he was like shattered, like mindset wise and everything. And you never really know how smart he is until he makes his move later on in the show. And it's just like, okay, all right. And yeah, Ray did give me, you know, those Sasuke vibes. But yeah. But overall, Chrome was my favorite character. She actually kept me laughing. I was like, what's going on here? What is this? You know? But I appreciate it though.
Okay, reset start. Of course it was Norman. Norman represents just like there are like few pure people or seemingly pure people in life. And when you see those people, it's just like, it's like something else, because you normally don't see that type of energy or feel that type of energy, that energy to just be, you know, good, like a force of good. And that's why I really love Norman. He was always looking out for other people and stuff like that. Also, like Emma was the annoying character that wasn't annoying. Like she was like kind of like a Naruto, but she was still rational at the end. Like when it came to taking the kids under five, she was just like, I'll come back for y'all. There's no way we can, you know, take all of you guys. And see, if it was Naruto would have tried to take all those kids. I have to give it up for the mom, though. I think she was a great antagonist. So I'm going to put her as my second favorite character. Because you could see where she was coming from, but you still didn't feel... I felt a little bit of sympathy, but I still didn't feel sorry for her. And she was still cold and calculating, and she didn't make very dumb mistakes. And she was a very compelling actor, you know? Next question. What was your top oh shit moment?
Oh, top oh shit moment. Like in terms of just like something that was completely jarring, or in what sense?
So like you were just like, oh shit, like it shocked you.
Besides the opening, probably Sister Crone, when her death scene. I really didn't like think they were gonna off her like that. I didn't really think she deserved it either. And, you know, kind of like what Drew was saying, it was really kind of an emotional send-off. I wasn't expecting to feel any of those kind of emotions towards that character, but, you know, they ended up doing it. And it made me probably more sad than anything else in the show was that scene. So that's probably mine.
It's weird because I felt sympathy for Chrome, but I felt none for Mom. And Chrome right. was... very hyper, very, very invigorated to kill these kids. She was just like, she was like the mayor of fuck these kids town. Like, she was just like, yeah, fuck these kids. I want to be mom. So, yeah.
Yeah, she was trying to get them out the paint, but it was just, it was sad to see her go, which was weird.
Yeah. I mean, shit. What is my biggest old shit? I mean, it's either Crone's death or like what's saying when they find Connie's body in the back. Like, it's split between those two moments, because Crone's death was sad because like you see her, like she's like, all right, babe, I'm about to become a mom. And grandma's like, bitch, you thought. And she's out here like, but Isabella's not even running the gym, right? Hey man, she cool. You about to go. And then she gets murked. But then after that, it's just the whole like that tonal shift. Like you see here, you see a bunch of kids, they're playing tag, they're playing with their foster mother, they all love her, it's all nice. And that they see this little girl, she's a little sweet, she has a little bunny. Okay. They get her bunny, they're gonna bring it, to her, like, oh well, we're gonna bring her to her bunny. That you literally look inside and you see her massacred body with her eyes bugged out, and it's just, and you see how both of the characters break down. Like, Norman was quick to like to do it for their safety, like, okay, calm the fuck down, we gotta get this. But after, when he got to safety, you see how it affected him post that, and he had that like PTSD. He was like both him and Emma had dreams about that, and it was just crazy. But it's tied between those two moments for me. Yeah.
For me, I'm gonna go with it has to be the first episode. So I'm gonna go with that. And then for a honorable mention, I'm gonna say the moment where we found out that Ray is actually or that the mother is Ray's mother. So yeah, because I don't remember it being foreshadowed like that. So that was definitely a shock. I was not expecting that at all. So those are my two moments, but it has to be the first episode. It was made to be that, you know, that moment.
Drew, I like how you come up with so many theories, man. It's really interesting. Mine is definitely Chrome's death, and I wasn't even expecting it. Just the fact that they closed the gate on her, like both sides, and they just came down slowly. And we're on like focused on like, oh, the kids in the sunny field and everything. And she's just like, you kids better escape and everything. I was like, what? And it's just like, I thought she died at first, but then like, it wasn't until like about like a minute later, then we hear the scream and everything. And then you just see her body laying. And I was just like, that's wild. That is so wild, man. And I was just like, she didn't even deserve it, man. It's crazy. But that was my biggest moment. She ain't deserved it, bro.
Mine was definitely Connie. But I think an honorable mention as well is what Drew said. When we found out that mom was Ray's biological mom, and it was just very well written, because Ray was singing that song a lot. And I don't know if mom was singing that song before we found out. But when she started singing that song,
She was.
Yeah,
okay. In the first episode, Connie asks, what song are you singing?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I knew she was somebody's mom. I just didn't think it was Ray. I thought it would be Norman or something like that. But it was Ray. And then it just made me appreciate the writing so much more, because they were spending quality time with each other, low-key, even though it was very hostile. And they both knew that they were biological mother and son. And they still kept it as business as usual. She was still like, I will kill you, you know? And yeah, that was excellent writing. Last question. Are you guys going to watch season 2? I'm just going to say yeah.
Oh, yeah. As soon as it drops, I'll be there.
Yes.
I'll be watching.
Yes, sir. Weekly.
Yes, sir.
Most death. Most death.
All right, so now let's get into the Naruto rankings. We use the Naruto ranking system. If this is your first time listening to us, we start at S rank, which is the best, and go all the way to D rank, which is the worst. I'll go first this time. I'm going to give it an A+. It really surprised me. I thought this was going to be another... What was that anime we watched again with them people? Tower of God. Yeah, I thought it was going to be another Tower of God. I thought it was going to be another flop, but this shonen really surprised me. It really did. It didn't follow the regular tropes. It kept me on edge by the middle of the series, and it had compelling characters.
Yes, I agree. I'm going to go with a A as well. Very, very solid show. Looking forward to the next season. Excellent writing.
Go ahead, Will.
I'm going to go ahead and give it an A also. I feel like it was really good, and I'm going to be there to watch season two because I want to know what happens. I just got to see a little bit more before it gets that S stamp of approval. But it's definitely like it's worth the time to watch 100%.
Yeah, it's definitely a show that you can see is going to end up being like an S rank, like probably by the next season's end.
Yeah, it's just got to work its way up there, but it's very close already.
Wait, Kenny.
Yeah. Somebody.
Oh, I'm gonna give this an A too. It did give me some Attack on Titan vibes as well, and this was some really, really good writing, and I'm definitely tuning in for season two. Honestly, I'm glad we actually made this choice. Who recommended this one? Okay, good pick. Good pick.
I'm on hot streak. I'm sorry I let y'all down with Tower of God, but I'm on hot streak.
Speaking of streak,
don't forget the fair sales at work too. So I mean, heck, bro, you won for three, but
oh yeah, that, yeah.
But right. As far as me, solid A+. The journey was lit. I'm definitely checking out season two. Definitely Attack on Titan vibes. As far as like we're gonna get a lot more stuff getting revealed, but heck, man, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps up the end of the show. Thank you guys for watching another episode of The Blurreds. Feel free to follow us at The Blurreds Word on Twitter and Instagram and The Blurreds on YouTube. Please leave a 5-star comment and review. It helps us with the algorithm. It helps us reach more people. And helps us grow our community. Will, do you have any socials you want to shoot out there?
You're muted.
I had to unmute. My fault. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at William Norris Jr. I also have a YouTube channel that's Mind of Mark. I used to do movie reviews and stuff, but I'm starting to move away from that. I'm doing more short film projects myself, so a lot of that stuff is up there now. So yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. I don't know if we thanked you before, but thank you for being our first guest. We really appreciate it. Your responses were excellent and detailed and everything like that, and we really appreciate you being our first guest.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Like, this was great. And thank y'all for the recommendation and kind of like Justin said, breaking me out of that battle shonen shell and getting into other stuff, because I just want to be able to watch more and more stuff. So, and y'all's podcast is awesome for finding this stuff I just hadn't overlooked or hadn't even taken the time to look at. So you guys keep doing great work like y'all are doing too.
Appreciate that, bro. We trying to do the same thing too. We trying to branch out, you know, find other stuff as well. But yeah, big, big shout out for you coming on this, being our first guest. Look, I mean, hopefully we can bring you on again, you know, later on or whatever.
Whenever y'all want me, I'll be here.
Not for that.
Most definitely. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one and be safe. You better FaceTime your family on Thursday.
Wear a mask.
Better FaceTime that joint. Send that virtual turkey. Yes. I know that.
Wear a mask.
Same thing for Chris Cole.
All right. I'll see y'all later.
Take care.